Hello, I'm Brad Bloom, publisher of Faith and Fitness magazine. You know, you may not consider yourself a green thumb and wonder how gardening has anything to do with a fitness lifestyle. After all, the weight room, the group exercise studio, and the church fitness class don't look anything like a row of vegetables with garden tools. This conversation with Noah Sanders, founder of Redeeming the Dirt, will help you expand your view of great nutrition, vigorous exercise, and how you can gain so much by doing gardening together with others. Listen to part one of our conversation and use the notes to guide you through it.
Yeah, I noticed on your website, Noah, that you have three conferences, three different tiers of sessions, sort of the backyard gardener, then the family farmer, and then the marketplace. Is that a model that was established from the international headquarters and that all the other stations do, or is that something that you're doing uniquely?
That's something, the way that I'm specifically applying it here in terms of how we're doing the training based on the needs that I see. You know, in Africa, there's people that just need to grow enough food to feed themselves and have a little bit to sell. And so they're primarily focusing on how to teach people to grow corn, because that's what, in at least in a lot of areas of sub-Saharan Africa, that's what they survive on, is just corn. But here, that's not as practical. You know, that's not what people just live off of. So we're having to... And people are so ignorant of agriculture, you can't just tell them how to tweak their methods. And, you know, like, they don't even, they haven't even planted a seed before in their life.
Yeah.
So we kind of have to start from scratch here compared to in Africa. People are already used to planting seeds and picking it and storing it and preparing it, you know. They're just doing it poorly. So, yeah, that's for us. And actually, that's what I'm doing this next week is I've got, seven people coming Monday and Tuesday for the basic gardening class, and then six of them are staying for the basic homesteading class, and then four of them are staying for the market farming class. And,
okay.
And it'll be about...
So you do them back to back then?
Well, because
or
people,
at least in
people
this case.
Stay for them, because I don't really want anybody to come to the later ones that haven't come to the first one.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the first time we've really offered these particular ones, so... We have some people that are coming for this whole week and some people that are coming for just the first part of the week. And I've got lots of other things going on, so I'm ready. I want to knock it all out in one time because I've got my own farm to run. But
so
yeah, that's
the level one, if you will, is the one that you most commonly get people to attend, the ones that are
right.
Just sort of discovering in the first place.
Right. And even, and what's cool is it applies even to people that have been farming and gardening their whole lives, because it's more, I mean, no tillage, conservation agriculture, all the methods that we teach, you can find other places. It's the heart. It's the foundation of Jesus that makes it come alive.
Sure.
That makes it totally different. And that's where Mr. Brian and the other team in Zimbabwe, like, they asked me if we were interested in being the first U.S. station, because we were sort of already doing it. And this was after we had the first conference, so we sort of showed some initiative and interest there. And they just asked us to pray about it. They just said, you can change whatever you need to change to tweak it to your environment. We want to just set you free in Christ to apply it in your area. And we want to, you know, freely make available all our resources for you to use. Just the one thing we ask is that you don't compromise or change the foundation being Jesus Christ, and that being the main focus of everything that
that's
you're
cool.
doing. And
yeah.
I'm like, I can deal with that. You know?
So tell me, how long have you been doing this? The partnership? Being
That partnership started, I guess, our first year sort of being a foundation for farming station was 2015. Because we had that
couple
of
years
two,
so far.
Yeah, a couple of years.
How many
and what's
conferences
cool is
have you done?
Three.
Okay.
And that was because I was telling you about the things that characterize a station, and that's you have a champion, you have crops, you have a way to produce cash and sustain yourself, you have a church, you know, where you're working with churches and not separate from the local church. And then you're also a conference is the fifth thing. Gathering people together to share vision and knowledge. And so that's what we've done for the last 3 years. And what was really neat is last year, just to see what God did, we had Brian Oldreath came and his wife from Zimbabwe. And then we had Joel Salatin came from Virginia. And I was able to connect those two guys, which is just such a powerful.
You say he actually came to your conference then?
Yes.
Nice.
And I mean, and that's a God thing because Joel Salatin wrote the foreword for my book. And I, after I went to Africa, I just called and shared with him, you know, what I had heard and what was going on. And I don't really have much any relationship with him before that or anything. I just was trying to honor him and his role of leadership, you know, in that area and just communicate uh-huh. with him some of the things God was doing. And he offered, he's like, if you're doing some type of conference or whatever, if there's any way I can help you, then I'd be glad to help you. Which he speaks like all over the world. He's a super, you know, sought after speaker and stuff. So sure. The fact that God convicted him, you know, to be a part of that, was neat to see that. So we had Joel Salomon, Brian Oldreath from Africa. We had, Todd Brace is a president of the Fellowship of Christian Farmers International, which, is like a fellowship of a bunch of big scale corn soybean farmers in the Midwest and all over the U.S. that get together and do evangelism at farm shows and mission and do mission trips as well together. So it's such a neat unifying. I mean, it was people like, you know, conventional people, organic people, all centering around this heart for the poor and a desire to honor God through our agriculture and farming. And it's pretty powerful. It was pretty amazing to see. We had like 100 people come from all over
you
the country.
You had 100 people?
Yeah.
Wow.
And
that's a big turnout. I'm curious now, how many were churches, and as a result of your conference, those churches are... I guess we can go even beyond the formal, you know, First Baptist of wherever.
Right.
And being just a Christian community where they said, we're going to go back in our community and start doing this now.
Well, that's what's pretty powerful because we had the conference, and what's amazing about that is we actually had the conference was hosted at a church, a big Baptist church that the pastor had met Mr. Brian Oldreath at a conference. Then he had come back to Alabama, learned that I was nearby. He brought a whole group of like a dozen people out to my farm, and we trained them on a full day. We did a full day training. And then he had me come to their church, and we did another training there. And then he hosted they provided facilities for the conference. And he even spoke. We had like a Assemblies of God pastor there. We had a Methodist pastor there. We had... the Baptist church was hosting us, and these are all people super passionate about what God was doing through agriculture and people that did it in their churches. I mean, this one guy, this, I think it's Church of God, Church of Christ, Assemblies of God, I think, guy from mm-hmm. Naples, Florida. He came to our second conference, and what we did in our second and third is we had an in-depth training, which is sort of like what I'm doing this next week, where we have a small group of people come to our farm, and they stay in our home with us. And we basically, you know, do real one-on-one and personal training with them and vision sharing and hearing from them and trying to equip and serve them. And we did that after the second two conferences. And that pastor came to that training, the second conference, and he went back so pumped about it that, like, he did a full-fledged training with Foundations for Farming Material. He... under my oversight, rewrote the whole African manual for the U.S. because he's like, we need this, like, right now in our churches. And they did a whole, like, he built compost piles. I forget how much he spent of their church budget on this training that he did. They put in a garden. They were singing songs on how they can do it with joy. And he did I had him do a report at this last conference about what he did and what he went home and applied at his church. And he was so passionate and so on fire when he was sharing what they did that Mr. Brian Oldreath, the guy from Zimbabwe, he came to me afterward and his Zimbabwean accent was like, I have never seen such passion.
Yeah, and, really cool.
And that guy came down and he said, the pastor told me afterwards, he's like, I can taste the adrenaline in my mouth.
So what he wrote, and you say he actually sort of did develop a handbook or a manual, is that available online? How does that work?
hopefully it will be eventually. I have a bunch of copies myself at the moment. It's basically how to do like a 2-day training in Foundations for Farming Principles. It's very cool. It's primarily just focuses on corn, you know, like that's the model crop that they use. Mm-hmm. So it's minimally applicable because I feel like vegetables is more what's needed to address the poverty issue here in the U.S., not so much teaching people in the projects to grow a crop of corn. But it takes all the, you know, metric and converts to the U.S. and takes all the problems that are in Africa and, you know, transposes it with the problems we're facing in the U.S. So it makes it applicable, but we really need, you know, to do even more beyond that. And that's what we're kind of trying to get a ground level, like, experience as we're trying to work with people around here and do it ourselves. Because I'm big into, I want what we're doing to be totally duplicatable. And I want to be not just, I don't want to go to where I'm training, but I'm not doing. I want to be balancing the doing, you know, the learning, the doing, and the training in a way that what I'm doing, anybody else can do.
Yeah.
That they can literally imitate what I'm doing. And it's sustainable. I'm not doing this full, I'm doing trainings here and there, you know, on top of my full-time living. And my full-time living of being a farmer is actually what gives me the most opportunities to make disciples and to share the gospel with people because I'm actually doing it.
How many acres do you have, by the way?
I'm very small as far as my production goes. I'm doing what we're trying to develop and model is, as far as the vegetable side, is small scale, super intensive with basically where you could do it without a single piece of mechanized equipment and make a good living off of it. So I'm doing right now like a half acre of beds, some raised, some not, just depending on where the soil, where it's wet or not.
Well, I mentioned that we have up to about 3 acres available to us next year. You're thinking like, Brad, you don't know what you're getting into.
Well, I mean, you know you've done farming, but I'm talking about, when I think about the poor and modeling in a way, and poor includes young people that want to get into farming. You know, they don't have to be from a poor background, but you face it, you know, a kid out of college.
Poor in knowledge.
A kid out of college is poor. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's to go start a farm, they don't have the capital to do that.
Yeah.
So they are poor. So what we want to do is model where, if we can model where people can grow, you know, enough food to feed themselves on an eighth of an acre, or they can, on a half of an acre, grow enough to make a living, you know, selling to, you know, 20, 30, 50 other families because they're doing it to such a high standard and such a beautiful, productive, abundant, you know, piece of land that they stewarded so well that it just astounds people, you know. And in today's world, it's not size that astounds people because we do size really well. I mean, our current agriculture does size really well, and it's really hard to wow people with that. But if you say that you, I mean, the people that are really getting some of the press now are the people that just they're making $100,000 off an acre, you know, and they're doing it without a tractor. And so that's where we have an opportunity to really shine, is where we can say,
well, that is well.
Yeah, it's not about how much you do, it's how well you do it. That's what God blesses. Profit comes from faithfulness, not through acquisition. You know, you don't get by getting more, you get by giving what you already have, you know, what God's already put around you. And if we
so
can,
the churches,
so that's what we're trying to model.
Yeah, the churches that came to your conference then, did they start gardens back on their church property, or I assume at least for some of them, it ultimately translated in doing a garden somewhere.
Right. Well, some of them are doing like community garden type things. Some of them started farmers market with their churches. This one guy, the Methodist guy, actually. And then other, a lot of individuals have gone away. One of them, guy, was a pastor, and he quit I'm not saying it's all necessarily because of the conference. A lot of this is, like I said, it's already God put it in their heart. You know, it was just, we were confirming and solidifying it. You know, he quit he resigned from his post as a pastor and is actually interning at a farm, and then they're intending to buy a piece of property. And basically, whether you call it that or not, is what he said, they're going to start a Foundations for Farming station. you know, basically a farm that's a, you know, a beautiful model, but a discipleship, you know, center in a sense in that community to make disciples in a way that he feels like, you know, could be even more productive than his, you know, apparently than what he was doing before in terms of just a full-time pastor.
Do you know if there's any churches that have fitness ministries? And maybe you've never even seen one. I don't know, but there's churches that literally have, you know, full-fledged fitness facilities, or they do a CrossFit at their church or whatever, that have attended your conference or that do garden ministry?
I don't. Like, it may not, it may be the case, and I just have not, don't know that they did. And some of these churches are pretty large, so I don't even, I can't keep track of what all they do. But, you know, like in our community, when I was at a meeting yesterday at our extension office, and there was a pastor there that was talking about how they had those type of programs going on with their church. And I really want to connect with him to talk about, you know, going and sharing about how they could also, you know, the Foundations for Farming principles as well, and how they can, you know, if that's something their church would be interested in doing as well. And I really think it would be, because it's right in line with the other stuff that they're doing with the fitness stuff for their seniors and their other people at their churches. So I see it being a very, you know, you kind of have, if you can cast a vision of, you know, especially to the fitness world, on one hand you have, you know, the physical, especially the Foundations for Farming, it's a very, very low-tech approach. Mm-hmm. You can do it with a hoe. And you don't, it's not, up front it can be a little labor-intensive compared to just hopping on a tractor, but at the end of the day, it's so productive and so, like, you hardly end up weeding at all. I mean, you know, it seems like work up front, but that work up front produces, like, very little work over the end. But
yeah,
it just means that you're doing more physical work. You're doing, like, actual, like, good for your body, hoeing and, like, manually doing stuff in a way that's not laborious, but that's, you know, that's very fulfilling. And so you have the physical side of it that's healthy for you, and then you have the nutritional, you know, way of producing your own food in a way that is not only really, you know, much more affordable sometimes than going and buying it at Whole Foods, but also, you know, it seems to me, and it seems like I've heard of scientific evidence that the more we're connected with our food, like, our body even receives it better, like,
yeah,
digestively,
yeah,
than when we don't know where it came from. Just like when you close your eyes, somebody pops some food in your mouth, even if it's good food, your body is just like, bleh, you know, because it doesn't have a connection
yeah,
with it, you know? But
yeah,
we know
so
the
I'm
farmer.
I'm curious,
are
do you guys get into the whole conversation of preserving the food, canning, whatever it would be?
I mean, that's, we're trying, there's such a need, you know, for education and for faithfulness in all these different areas, because, like I was saying, we just are so disconnected from this, that like, in the homesteading aspect of it, that's what I want to cover, you know. But
I mean, you and your family, all of the food you eat lasts you throughout the year, or
well,
all the food that you produce,
I mean,
lasts you throughout the year?
Just like, you wouldn't necessarily, even if you want to, the friends I have that want to eat locally and buy from us, they don't get everything that they eat locally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a majority of what we eat comes from what we grow, but we also have other things that we buy as well that we can't
mm-hmm.
grow, or they just make things easier at times.
But you and your wife are putting it up either in
right,
the freezer
yeah,
or
yeah, we're
canning.
Putting it, we're canning stuff, we're fermenting stuff, we're freezing stuff. We had a financial crunch this winter, and we basically went from December to, like, March almost, and we just didn't go to the grocery store.
Yeah.
We just ate out of the freezer, because the key to growing what you eat is to only eat what you grow, you know, because there's always, you know, you can always find something you can buy at the store because you want fun stuff, you know, or you want things
yeah.
to make it easier to
uh-huh.
cook, like oil or whatever. But you can do it out if you want to. You can just eat
yeah.
simpler.
What are your primary
you
crops? Beans and corn and
right now it's things like, well, let's say this. I manage our commercial enterprises differently than I manage my homestead, because it's two different goals. One has to be very financially viable as far as the commercial side goes, and the
mm-hmm.
other, I want to be very sustainable as far as its input and I'm trying to grow what we want to eat, not necessarily what we can make the most money on.
Yeah.
Because there's things that I like to eat that I can't grow profitably commercially, you know. It just is not worth the square foot that I invest in it. But we like to eat it, so we still grow up for ourselves. But
yeah.
As far as for ourselves, you know, we're still in the process right now of setting up our homestead and clearing and developing and building ponds and stuff. And but we're going to have, like, your fresh vegetable eating garden, which is what you eat out of freshly. And then you have your staples, and you have, a plot for root crops that you can store without refrigeration. You have a plot for legumes, which is like dried beans that you can store without refrigeration, and peanuts, those type of things. And then you have your grain crop plot, which is either corn or wheat or whatever you grow for grain, that it can also be stored without refrigeration, which is all pretty cool. So those you grow in a, you know, in a larger scale, simpler method, and those you harvest once and you store. But then your fresh vegetable eating garden, you're going to have your things like your greens and your, you know, your fresh green beans and your fruiting vegetables, like your tomatoes and those type, those other things. As far as commercially, we do a lot of, like right now, today, I have a diversity. We market to customers who want to buy a lot of things from us, so we try to keep it diverse, because the more diversity we have, the more different things they'll buy from us. One person will buy from us. So when we go to market, we sell, like we have partnered with my cousin who's overseeing the production of our meat chickens and eggs. And then we have baked goods that we produce, whole wheat, fresh ground, sprouted, soaked. I mean, really, you know, super nice baked products. And then as far as vegetables go, like today we have lettuces, salads, arugula, green beans, tomatoes, okra, squash, even garlic. We harvest mushrooms. Whatever we can, you know, whatever we find that we can do. It's pretty diverse, but not as diverse as it could be, because it just gets so complicated if you want to have 60 different crops out there that you grow. What I did actually last year is I actually pulled out my sales from each of my crops. What was my most, you know, what I grossed off of each crop, divided it by the number of beds that I was growing it in, and then had a threshold of, like, X many dollars per crop per bed, and anything that was under that, I just didn't grow the next year, you know, because I
don't know. Now, do you do all of that with just a hoe, or?
Well, let's say this. I could do it all with just a hoe, and as far as maintaining it right now, I don't use any mechanization to maintain it. That being said, my dad has a tractor, and we have some, my dad has a tractor, and so as far as putting in the plot. Occasionally I'll use it, like, you know, I'm originally prepping it, I'll rip, subsoil it, and then lightly cultivate it to weed it. And then I'll go in and put everything in, which you can do that with a hoe just as easily. It's just going to, you know, you just have to spend a couple of days on it.
And
if I didn't have a tractor.
Is it just you, or do you have a few people that help?
Well, right now my goal is to model what a family economy can handle, if that makes sense. So with occasional help from people that are also interested, like I have a young man that goes to church that I'll hire to come over and help me with some things occasionally, but I don't want to be dependent on that. When I wake up in the morning, I don't want to manage people. I want to be able to manage my family, you know. And sometimes I've found that when I have employees or people that are over there, then my mind is somewhere else and I can't really focus on my family as well. So I like, my cousin wanted to get into farming. So he's working on the farm right now, but he took over. I delegated the chicken operations to him, and I'm focusing on the vegetable operations. So we partnered together, like we were both selling at the farmer's market today, but we just, like, I get a cut for marketing it, and, you know, he helps with things, but there's a very clear line of responsibility. So when I wake up in the morning, he manages his time, I manage my time, you know, and then we have business meetings on how we can work together. But I don't get up in the morning responsible for managing his time in such a way that makes enough money that I can provide a living for his family. Too much responsibility. You know, I've got enough to handle with just my own, and I want to free him up, you know, to be able to manage his own time and do that as well, rather than just a corporate type structure
that
we grow.
Of model, I'm curious, for churches that would come in and they're thinking, okay, we're looking to do something that gives a variety of our members the opportunity to get involved on a regular basis. is it easy to look at how this might look with that type of opportunity, with that type of labor force?
Yeah, I mean, as far as providing opportunities for people, like if let's say the way that a church would use this to reach out into a community is that they would, as a you know, like get together a group of people interested in using it. They would sort of themselves form a Bible study group in a sense. It would go through the material, you know, at the heart themselves. And then what they would do practically is either at the church or somewhere in a visible spot in the community, they would put in a demonstration garden. It would be a model and sort of a light, a shining example to the community. And they would use that as a place to train people in the community, ideally to equip them to do it on their own property. Or if the people in the community don't have access to land, then the church could provide land for people to put gardens in themselves. But it wouldn't be a, hey, everybody chip in, everybody get something out of it, but very much each person has their own plot, you know, and you're modeling and assisting them to do it themselves, because I think sometimes we get in trying to have good community, and that's what we're trying to kind of really learn how to do well with my cousin being on the farm, and that I've had to learn to do well with my dad being on the farm as well, is we can want to work together so much that we fail to be just in the way that we set things up to work. And if you don't have a just system in place, you cannot show mercy. Because basically there's no ownership of responsibilities or of product or the fruit of what the labor. And and when you don't have ownership, you can't have generosity, because you can't give away what doesn't belong to you, either time or resources. So we very much try to encourage people to set up, you know, whether they're doing reaching out and trying to help people in the community get started gardening, or they're partnering on farms, or like my cousin's living in my house right now with his family and kids. We want to set up a very just system, not because we don't want to help each other out, but because we want to help each other out. And if it's all assumed that it should, you know, everybody just is supposed to help each other out, then there's no going the extra mile, because there is no set limit to how much you were supposed to go in the first place, if that makes sense.
It's sort of clarifying what community looks like.
Right, right. And so I'm saying, in terms of like doing a community garden with Foundations for Farming, it's more like the church would create a demonstration garden that would be a model and a teaching, a training model for the people in the community to equip them to do it themselves. That makes sense. So that's what they could
let's imagine another scenario and tell me what you think it might look like. Right now in America, quite popular are CrossFits. These are boxes. The communities of people that come to those are usually really pretty strongly connected. They motivate each other. They collaboratively work together quite a bit. And within those CrossFits, there are some that have groups called Faith RX. It's basically a Christian Bible study, if you will. That's pretty distilling it down, but it's,
right.
You know, it's a group of Christians within that CrossFit that get together on a regular basis for some Christian fellowship. So I'm curious if those groups said, hey, we want to do some gardening, we want to add gardening to the mix of what we do, what might that look like, in your opinion?
Well, it would be the same thing. They could either, you know, come together and, you know, help each other put in, ideally, I think there's a lot of value to trying to maintain personal responsibility. If you're going to come together and do things like as a community, I would recommend that people divide it up by household. So ideally, you come together as a community, and what you can do collaboratively is help each other put in each other's gardens, you know, all go together to one person's place, and or let's say you just have one common area that you were all divvying up, and then you could together support each other and help each other and hold each other accountable in your gardens just the same as they are in their fitness program, and in so doing, and in the way that they together are studying how the way that they're doing things is expressing and displaying the very nature of God and the heart of God, that they are able to, as a community, communicate that to other people that come along and train those people as well, because people will be interested in that. And then there will be opportunities for that community to go and train and use what they're doing to teach other people, and in so doing, communicate aspects of the gospel at the same time.
Do you guys get, in your sessions that you do, the three different levels, is there conversation specifically about the outreach, the ministry component, or is it pretty much all focused on the actual gardening production with a Christian worldview?
It comes down to the...
And I ask that I want just as a come, reference to you. We're hoping to do some sort of an event in October that's gardening related, and I had a woman from Canada contact me saying, hey, I'm interested in coming to learn about how to do gardening as ministry. I already know how to do gardening, so I'm not really interested in sessions that would teach me how to do the actual gardening, but I am interested in sessions that would help me to know how to do this as a ministry. So that's
right.
Sort of where I'm dipping back into as I ask you that question.
And that's where it's the 80% heart change that, like, when people come to my farm, they don't, like, I advertise it as they are going to come learn about farming. But at the end of the day, I want them to go away more in love with Jesus than when they came, and more equipped to serve him than when they came. Even if that means that they realize that they were farming because they were doing what they wanted to do, and maybe they shouldn't be farming, you know? But yeah, the outreach aspect, the way that we do, actually, it's in doing the practical, even if somebody is a full time, I mean, has been doing it for a long time, even, you know, like for me myself as well, going over, in Foundations for Farming, we never apologize about going over the basics or about repeating ourselves, because that is the key. Faithfulness is continuing to hold to the basics without moving past that and getting distracted by, you know, the complexity of other cool things. And it's kind of like the Christian life, you know. The people who finish well is those who continue to, in childlike faith, go to God's word and pray every day, you know, all the way till the end of their days. And so the same thing, but in teaching, when we're teaching composting or we're teaching how to put in a garden, even if somebody's done it all their life, when we do that, we're talking about the perspective of why we're doing it, you know, so even though we may be doing something that people are familiar with, we're talking about it and doing it in such a way that it gives, that at times it's only the Holy Spirit that chooses to do it, but at times the Holy Spirit really uses it to just change their whole perspective and way that they think about it. So for me, I want them to go away where now when they plant their garden, they think about how what they're doing is an expression of their love for Jesus. Therefore, when somebody asks them about their garden, they can't help but talk about Jesus, not because they're using it as a segue to share to a gospel presentation, but because that's the way they think about it. They can't separate Jesus in their garden because he's the very essence of why they do it and how they do it. And, you ask me why I garden or how I garden or what I'm going to do with myself, it all comes back to I'm purposing to learn more and more how to have all those things rooted in my love of Christ and how that expresses itself. So in our classes, even though we might be going over, quote, the basics, it's because we're showing how to do those basics with a totally different perspective. And that perspective change is what allows us to do it in genuine ministry, not just using it as a tool to hopefully open a spiritual conversation, if that makes sense.
Let me ask
you a
question.
It's like real deal stuff.
Of the churches that have participated in your conferences, do you know if any of them... And I'll use FaithRx and CrossFit as an example again. The FaithRx groups would, the model that they would have would typically be, okay, we're going to do a workout, and at the end of that workout, we're going to take an additional half hour time period to do that faith experience, whether that's a bit of, who knows, I'm sure they pray, they probably read a Bible verse, have some conversation, they might even sing a bit, who knows, but it's it would be that model of do the exercise and then do the fellowship. In yours, it would be a let's go weed the garden, harvest the vegetables, and then before we leave the garden, let's do some fellowship. Do you see any churches doing any type of a model like that?
I think so. I think each of them look a little different in terms of the way that they're applying it and the exact approach they have. And that's, we're not so much concerned about, you know, formulaic type approaches. We just, the heart, like, it's Foundations for Farming is not an organization. It's just a relational network with a common set of values, in a sense.
Sure.
And relationships that tie people together because of by that heart. So, you know, in terms of somebody to get trained in Foundations and to be able to start a station, they don't, it's not so much what they've been trained in or where they've gone through certain material. It's they just have to have a relationship with somebody that's already doing it.
Yeah.
So that person knows they have the heart, because that heart is what we're most jealous about. Not so much about exactly how they do it, but you know pretty quickly if somebody has that heart. And then if they do, then all we ask is that you maintain that relationship with the people, you know what I'm saying, that sort of are discipling you. So that you're always discipling somebody and being discipled by somebody else in order to maintain that accountability. And so all these churches and different places like that, once somebody has the heart and you're confident in that, then you kind of, you know, I'm trying to learn from them about how they're doing things just as much as I'm, you know, want to pass on and share with other people. And Foundations for Farming itself is never something that it's a tool. Some people want to, you know, exclusively feel called to like be a Foundations for Farming station or whatever, but we are, it's really just a set of tools that we offer to equip any ministry with to do. And it doesn't detract at all from what they're doing. It just complements them. They don't have to stop what they're doing at all. You know, it's just another, it's kind of like using Crown Financial Ministry, you know, material in your church. You know, it just complements what you're doing already.
Yeah, I hear you.
And somebody might want to have like a Crown Financial dedicated, you know, branch in their town, but, you know, just to use the material doesn't mean you have to be them, you know?
Yeah.
And so that's the same thing with us. We're here to serve. We're here to say whatever, if what we have and what we're doing can serve what somebody's already doing, then we're more than happy to equip them with the tools, the basic tools. We're also hoping that God will allow them to master those and then move forward and move on, because there's lots of new things that God needs to teach us. And so our conference, and we may have another one this October, would be actually not so much like the conferences we've done in previous years where we have speakers and it's more of a traditional conference format, but more of a summit where we're actually bringing back all these people, that any that will come, that are already been trained in previous years, to come back together and share what God's been doing, you know, and to kind of like an alumni event, if that makes sense. And then the new people that do come are going to be most motivated by hearing all the cool stories about the people that have been going back and doing stuff, and all the stories about how God's changed people's lives. I mean, that's the most cool stuff. So we don't even have any professional speaker come in and share. We're just going to regather the people that have been doing it and just be motivated by what God's doing, you know.
I hope you found this conversation with Noah Sanders, founder of Redeeming the Dirt, to give you fresh insights into the potential of gardening ministry. Be sure to go to his website for his latest updates and to get your copy of his book, Born Again Dirt. All of us here at Lifestyle Media Group want to help you redefine how you do faith so that you can make God central to every part of your daily lifestyle. Use the Contact Us link for more information on gardening and to get personalized support in growing your own gardening ministry. I'm Brad Bloom, founder of Lifestyle Media Group, encouraging you not just to live life well, better, or more adventurously, but to truly be life, the life of Christ to others.